The Lord be with you.
And also with you.
Let us pray. Lord God, through the preaching of your Apostle Paul, you established one church from among the nations. As we celebrate his conversion, we pray that we may follow his example and be witnesses to the truth in your Son, Jesus Christ our Lord, who lives and reigns with you in the Holy Spirit, one God, now and forever. Amen. Please be seated for the Liturgy of the Word.
The long first reading is from the Acts of the Apostles, the 9th chapter. Saul, still breathing threats and murder against the disciples of the Lord, went to the high priest and asked him for letters to the synagogues of Damascus, so that if he found any who belonged to the way, men or women, he might bring them bound to Jerusalem. Now as he was going along and approaching Damascus, suddenly, a light from heaven flashed around him. He fell to the ground and heard a voice saying to him, "Saul, Saul, why do you persecute me?" He asked, "Who are you, Lord?" The reply came, "I am Jesus, whom you are persecuting. But get up and enter the city, and you will be told what you are to do." The men who were traveling with him stood speechless, because they heard the voice but saw no one. Saul got up from the ground, and though his eyes were opened, he could see nothing. So they led him by the hand and brought him into Damascus. For 3 days he was without sight and neither ate nor drank. Now there was a disciple in Damascus named Ananias. The Lord said to him in a vision, "Ananias?" He answered, "Here I am, Lord." The Lord said to him, "Get up and go to the street called Straight, and at the house of Judas, look for a man of Tarsus named Saul. At this moment he is praying, and he has seen in a vision a man named Ananias come in and lay his hands on him so that he might regain his sight." But Ananias answered, "Lord, I have heard many things about this man, how much evil he has done to your saints in Jerusalem. And here he has authority from the chief priest to bind all who invoke your name." But the Lord said to him, "Go, for he is an instrument whom I have chosen to bring my name before Gentiles and kings and before the peoples of Israel. I myself will show him how much he must suffer for the sake of my name." So Ananias went and entered the house. He laid his hands on Saul and said, "Brother Saul, the Lord Jesus, who appeared to you on your way here, has sent me so that you may again receive your sight and be filled with the Holy Spirit." And immediately, something like scales fell from his eyes, and his sight was restored. Then he got up and was baptized. And after taking food, he regained his strength. For several days he was with the disciples in Damascus, and immediately began to proclaim Jesus in the synagogues, saying, "He is the Son of God." All who heard him were amazed and said, "Is not this the man who made havoc in Jerusalem among those who invoked this name? And has he not come here for the purpose of bringing them bound before the chief priest?" Saul became increasingly more powerful and confounded the Jews who lived in Damascus by proving that Jesus was the Messiah. The word of the Lord.
Thanks.
Let us pray Psalm 67 responsively. May God be merciful to us and bless us, show us the light of his countenance and come to us. Let the peoples praise you, O God. Let all the peoples praise you.
Let the nations be glad and sing for joy, for you judge the peoples with equity and guide all the nations with honor.
Let the peoples praise you, O God. Let all the peoples praise you.
The earth has brought forth her increase. The
May God give us his blessing, and may all the ends of the earth stand in awe of him. Glory to the Father, and to the Son, and to the Holy Spirit, as it was in the beginning, is now, and will be forever. A reading from the letter of St. Paul to the Galatians, the first chapter. I want you to know, brothers and sisters, that the gospel that was proclaimed by me is not of human origin. For I did not receive it from a human source, nor was I taught it, but I received it through a revelation of Jesus Christ. You have heard, no doubt, of my earlier life in Judaism. I was violently persecuting the Church of God and was trying to destroy it. I advanced in Judaism beyond many among my people of the same age, for I was more zealous for the traditions of my ancestors. But when God, who had set me apart before I was born and called me through his grace, was pleased to reveal his Son to me so that I might proclaim him among the Gentiles, I did not confer with any human beings, nor did I go up to Jerusalem to those who were already apostles before me. But I went away at once into Arabia, and afterwards I returned to Damascus. Then after 3 years I did go up to Jerusalem to visit Cephas and stayed with him 15 days. But I did not see any other apostle except James, the Lord's brother. In what I am writing to you before God, I do not lie. Then I went into the regions of Syria and Cilicia, and I was still unknown by sight to the churches of Judea that are in Christ. They only heard it said, "The one who formerly was persecuting us is now proclaiming the faith he once tried to destroy." And they glorified God because of me. The word of the Lord.
A reading from the Holy Gospel according to St. Luke, the 21st chapter. Jesus said to his disciples, "Nation will rise against nation and kingdom against kingdom, and there will be great earthquakes, and in various places famines and plagues, and there will be dreadful portents and great signs from heaven. But before all this occurs, they will arrest you and persecute you. They will hand you over to synagogues and prisons, and you will be brought before kings and governors because of my name. This will give you an opportunity to testify. So make up your minds not to prepare your defense in advance, for I will give you words and a wisdom that none of your opponents will be able to withstand or contradict. You will be betrayed, even by parents and brothers, by relatives and friends, and they will put some of you to death. You will be hated by all because of my name, but not a hair of your head will perish. By your endurance, you will gain your souls." The Gospel of the Lord. What was it that knocked Paul to his knees on the Damascus road? It wasn't the light. That just flashed around about him. And the voice that he heard simply asked a question, "Saul, why do you persecute me?" What was it that brought Paul to his knees? Paul was on his way to Damascus, filled with zeal for his job. He tells us that he had made progress in Jewish observance. He was a self-appointed defender of the truth, and he was filled with zeal against the Christians. What was it about these believers that angered Paul so much that he persecuted with such great zeal? It probably wasn't that Paul found it too offensive that the Christians claimed that Jesus was the Messiah. There had been many so-called Messiah groups before this Jesus movement, and Paul didn't try to eliminate them. These groups usually just fizzled out on their own. The Christians' belief that Jesus was the Messiah probably didn't upset Paul all that much. Brian Stoffren, a Lutheran scripture scholar, says that what got Paul so stirred up against the Christians was their claim that God had sent the Messiah to them. Now just think of that. God had sent the Messiah to this group? These Christians were led by some fishermen, uneducated guys who probably didn't even know Hebrew, and they didn't understand the law. Well, at least they didn't keep the law very well. And then there were tax collectors in the group, and we all know about tax collectors. They don't deserve any of God's blessing. They worked for the enemy, after all. They worked for the Romans. They cheated their fellow Jews. And although it wasn't talked about that much, there were probably some prostitutes in that group, too. And we know what God thinks of people like that. God certainly wouldn't have anything to do with such people. This group of unfaithful, law-breaking people claimed that God had come to them and had chosen them and had given them the Messiah. No wonder Paul was roused to anger. After all, he was a devout law keeper. He knew God. He knew how God worked. He knew that God is a righteous God, and God wouldn't want anything to do with people like that, with that group of sinful people. Why, it's blasphemy even to think that God would choose such a group of sinful, disrespectful, law-breaking folks as that. Paul was going to wipe out their blasphemy. Now, although Paul was a believer in the one true God, the way he thought about God and the people of God needed to change. In fact, the way he thought about himself needed to change as well. And this is what happened at his conversion. Paul was wrong, and the Christians were right. The Messiah did come to sinful, unlawful people. As offensive as that thought may have been to Paul, the Messiah did come, and he chose those people who were outside the mainstream of social structure, outside of proper society. The Messiah came and chose and saved sinners. God knocked Paul to his knees, and his mind was changed. He learned the truth. God, through Jesus Christ, comes to people who don't deserve it. To people we would least expect a righteous God to associate with. Paul even says that about himself. Paul said that he deserved God's grace even less than any of the other Christians, because he had been persecuting the Christians. He was hard at work in opposition to God's will. He was actively going against God's plan. But God broke into his life anyway. Jesus Christ came and chose him when he least deserved it, when he was on his way to arrest the followers of the Messiah. Paul was caught up in an idea, and he was filled with zeal. But his encounter with Jesus on the road to Damascus knocked him to his knees. He was faced with a new reality. He was persecuting people, not an idea. It's fairly easy to attack an idea. It's something else to attack a person. Jesus asked Paul, "Why do you persecute me?" No longer an idea, but a person. I am Jesus. I am the person you are persecuting. Suddenly, those Christians had human faces. And Paul, who had been breathing murderous threats, began to see the disciples as people. The shock of that realization knocked Paul to the ground. How could he kill people who were like himself and like those he loved? Paul recognized on the way to Damascus that Christians were human. That was a great revelation, a great realization. That was the flash of light that blinded him. And he remained blind until a human touch healed him. The scales fell from his eyes when Ananias touched him, when he laid his hands on him and called him Brother Saul. And Saul grew in his faith when he met with the disciples in Damascus and later on when he met with Peter and James in Jerusalem. Paul's experience on the Damascus Road offers a double challenge to us. The first is that as Christians, we don't hide behind ideas. We are the people who push aside the labels to look at the people behind the labels. We are the people who tear down barriers and connect with the people on the other side. We are the people who strive to put a human face on issues that would otherwise leave us cold and uncaring. We are the people who risk naming and claiming ourselves as the body of Christ through the holy sacrament of baptism, where all are welcomed as the people of God into this family. Paul's conversion meant a change in the way that he understands God's relationship with humans. It's not just about external acts, about keeping the law, about circumcision. It's a relationship that's centered on grace, on love. Paul was so convinced, so converted, that he never backed down, even when he was threatened with persecution, with imprisonment, with death. He never backed down. His relationship with Jesus Christ was the center and core of his life, of his preaching, of his witness, of his whole life. Paul's second challenge comes to us from the human touch that healed him. Ananias didn't come to Paul with ideas. He had already crossed the barrier, removed the label, and saw Paul as a person. It was the human touch that brought healing and reconciliation. That can only happen through the giving of oneself. Healing and reconciliation don't happen when we give people ideas. It can only happen when we give people ourselves. God gave himself to us in Jesus Christ, and we are healed. We are saved and reconciled. We were brought into a relationship through Jesus Christ. And now we continue that relationship. How we give ourselves to others, how we love, is the mark of a Christian. We who believe in Jesus Christ, we who believe that Jesus Christ is the Messiah for all people, for the undeserving, for the law-breaking, for the outcast, for the sinners, for you, for me, we extend that giving in faith and call it love. And we can love because we have been loved. In the end, Paul's conversion was not just an event on the road to Damascus. The lasting mark of conversion is not being able to name the day and time that you've been saved. It's not a date circled in red on the calendar. It is rather the whole story of one's life. The very dramatic story of Paul's conversion is worth telling only because of what happened the rest of his life. What we celebrate when we come here together Sunday after Sunday is not that you and I have been converted, that we have decided to follow Jesus. What we celebrate and rejoice in is that Jesus has decided for us. Jesus has chosen us and called us. We are called and claimed by Jesus Christ. We are nourished and sent forth in His name in the truth of this good news. Thanks be to God for this good news. Amen.